You know, when you build a skyscraper,
Right.
the logic is just, well, it's brutal. To go higher, you need a wider foundation.
Yeah.
You need more concrete. You need massive, massive amounts of steel.
Exactly.
And for years, Silicon Valley treated artificial intelligence the exact same way.
He really did.
Right. The prevailing philosophy was just that bigger digital brains required hoarding ever-increasing amounts of data.
More is more.
Exactly. But we are sitting here today in the year 2026, and the tech giants have officially slammed headfirst into what the industry is calling the hard data wall.
Yeah, it's a massive crisis.
They have quite literally run out of steel.
Right.
So the mission of today's deep dive is to figure out how a quiet open source project just completely debunk the most expensive myth in tech.
And it really is a myth. The answer involves fundamentally rethinking the entire architecture of machine learning.
Which is huge.
It is, because the era of assuming, more data automatically equals more intelligence, that is completely broken down.
It's just over.
Yeah. And the implications of that failure are reshaping the entire tech landscape as we speak.
So if you are listening to this right now and you felt just, I don't know, overwhelmed over the last few years by these massive tech giants,
Google, Meta, OpenAI.
right, all of them just endlessly fighting over who has the biggest, most expensive, most power-hungry AI.
Yeah.
Well, this deep dive is going to reveal how the underdog just flipped the script.
Totally.
We're looking at a single, genuinely game-changing document today, The Hard Data Wall and the Olmo Hybrid Revolution.
It's a fascinating read.
It really is. And the goal here is to understand how the power is moving away from those massive billion-dollar cloud servers and landing straight into the device sitting in your pocket right now.
To really appreciate how radical this shift is, I mean, we have to look at the brute force approach that caused the crisis in the first place.
Okay, let's dive into that.
So ever since the invention of the transformer architecture, the unspoken scaling law has been relatively simple. To get a smarter model, you basically make the computational graphs wider and you just force feed it more data.
Which sounds incredibly expensive.
Oh, the cost of that arms race is difficult to even conceptualize.
I mean, we're looking at budgets where mega corporations casually drop $100 million just to rent the hardware.
Right. And just to be clear, that isn't buying the equipment.
No.
That is solely paying for processing time on massive clusters of NVIDIA H100 and B200 GPUs.
It's wild. They essentially treated artificial general intelligence as a prize.
Yeah.
Like it could only be bought by the corporation capable of footing the absolute largest electric bill.
Exactly. And beyond the financial cost, there's the raw resource cost.
The data itself.
Right. To satisfy those massive compute clusters, these companies essentially took an industrial vacuum to the internet.
They scraped everything.
Literally everything. Every Wikipedia article, every digitized book, every Reddit thread, every GitHub repository.
Wow.
The high quality human-generated internet is just exhausted.
Okay, let's unpack this. It's like being at an all-you-can-eat buffet,
Okay.
eating everything in sight, and then trying to eat the plastic display food.
That is actually a great way to put it.
Are we really completely out of data? What happens when they run out?
Well, this raises an important question. When they ran out of actual human interactions, the desperate fallback strategy was to use AI to generate synthetic data.
Oh, so AI talking to AI.
Exactly. They generate synthetic data to feed back into the next generation of AI models. But doing that introduces a terrifying mechanical flaw known as model collapse.
Model collapse. I mean, that implies the digital skyscraper is actually crumbling under its own weight.
It is. Because it's a compounding of mathematical errors.
Okay.
When an AI trains on data generated by another AI, rather than the messy reality of human data, it begins to amplify the most probable generic responses.
Right, it loses the weirdness.
Yeah, it loses the nuanced tail end of human creativity and those rare edge cases.
So it just gets bland.
Worse than bland, the model essentially begins to lose its grip on reality. The errors compound with each generation until the outputs degrade into repetitive nonsense.
Wow. So if the giants are stuck choosing between a dried-up internet and poisonous synthetic data,
Right.
the only way forward isn't finding more data.
No, you can't.
You have to completely rebuild the engine to get more mileage out of the fuel we already have,
Exactly.
which is exactly what the Allen Institute for AI, or AI2, realized when they built the Alma Hybrid.
Right, so AI2 decided to abandon that whole data hoarding approach.
And focus on what exactly?
Low-level engineering. They fundamentally changed the brain structure of the large language model
How did they do that?
by fusing two entirely different approaches, a dense network and something called a mixture of experts, commonly referred to as MOE.
Okay, let's break down the difference between those two structures, because looking at our sources, they highlight this as the absolute core of the revolution.
It really is.
So in a classical dense model, the AI uses all of its parameters, let's say 100 billion of them, to answer every single query, regardless of the complexity.
Right.
So if you ask it to write a sonnet, or you just ask it what 2 plus 2 is,
it spins up the entire 100 billion parameter engine.
Which is just a massive waste of energy.
The computational waste is immense.
Mm.
But OMO Hybrid takes a much more organic approach.
Okay.
In its initial layers, it does use a dense architecture, but only for the shallow work.
Like deciphering context?
Right, context, basic grammar, parsing your intent.
So it figures out what you want first.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And once it understands what you are asking for, it shifts the heavier abstract concepts into the mixture of experts.
Okay, and the mechanism driving that shift is the neural router algorithm, right?
Yes, and it operates in a fraction of a millisecond.
That's incredibly fast.
It is. When a coconut of information comes in, this router looks at it and decides exactly which specialized expert block within the network needs to process it.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Think of a standard dense AI, like a massive 100-story hospital.
Okay, I like that.
In the old brute force method, if a patient walks in with a sprained ankle, the hospital staff pages every single doctor in the entire building.
Oh, wow.
The cardiologists, the brain surgeons, the pediatricians, they all drop what they're doing just to look at this one ankle.
Right, which is an incredible visualization of that computational waste.
Exactly. But OMO's neural router acts like triage. It only pages the orthopedics department.
Yes.
It only wakes up the specific sectors of its silicon brain it strictly needs.
And the outcome of that organic approach is huge.
Mm-hmm.
By only activating a tiny fraction of its total capacity at any given moment, the model achieves just blistering tokens per second speeds.
Yeah, but yes.
And more importantly, it triggers a massive reduction in VRAM requirements and overall hardware processing loads.
Okay, wait. Before we move on, for you listening, if you aren't deep in the PC building trenches, what does VRAM actually dictate for the end user?
That's a great question.
Because it seems to be the ultimate bottleneck in all of this.
Well, VRAM, or video RAM, is essentially the short-term working memory of your graphics card.
Right.
It dictates how large of an AI model you can hold in the machine's active memory at one single time.
Got it.
So a massive 100 billion parameter dense model requires an enormous amount of VRAM.
Which means server farms.
Exactly. Meaning you need racks of enterprise-grade server GPUs just to load the model before you can even ask it a question.
But because OMO Hybrid only loads the experts it currently needs,
the VRAM footprint shrinks drastically.
So it is pulling off more complex thought by actively choosing to power down the parts of its brain it doesn't need.
That's a great way to summarize it.
But, I mean, even a highly efficient, specialized brain still needs fuel.
True.
And the documentation around how OMO Hybrid was trained is where this gets truly disruptive.
Oh, their data pipeline is revolutionary.
Yeah. This model matched the commercial heavyweights, but it achieved that intelligence using only half the training data of its rivals.
Right. The secret is their pipeline, driven by a philosophy they call ruthless data pruning.
Ruthless pruning.
Yeah. They started with a bloated data set of 15 trillion tokens, which is, you know, similar to what the tech giants use.
Okay.
But instead of blindly feeding all of that into the model, they deployed an army of smaller supervisor models to scan, score, and evaluate every single document.
So they condensed a 15 trillion token mass into a highly refined 7 trillion token golden core.
Exactly.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
In machine learning, doesn't an AI need that massive, messy variety of data to learn how the real world talks?
You'd think so, but
I mean, by cutting half the internet out, aren't they losing vital context?
What's fascinating here is that you have to consider the reality of computational noise.
Noise.
Yeah, think about what that discarded data actually consists of. We're talking about clickbait SEO articles, buggy, broken code fragments, and glaring logical contradiction.
Oh, I see. Just internet garbage.
Exactly. Forcing an AI to process all of that doesn't give it context. It severely decelerates a mathematical optimization process called gradient descent.
Okay, let's visualize gradient descent for a second. Sure.
Imagine you are blindfolded, standing somewhere in a massive mountain range, and your goal is to find the absolute lowest point in the valley.
Okay.
You take a step, you feel the slope of the ground, and you move downhill.
Right.
That is essentially the AI trying to minimize its error rate during training.
Now imagine trying to navigate down into that valley while 50 people are screaming contradictory directions at you.
Oh, wow.
Some are telling you to go left, others are telling you to walk uphill. That is what training on 15 trillion tokens of uncurated internet garbage does to a model.
It just confuses it.
Exactly. The AI gets confused, its mathematical weights pull in opposite directions, and the learning process just stalls.
So AI2 solved this by essentially hiring bouncers.
Bouncers.
Yeah. Those smaller supervisor models acted as strict filters. If a document lacked logical density or informational value or high editorial quality, the bouncers threw it out. That's perfectly said. Nourishing OMO Hybrid with only the ultra-dense 7 trillion token golden core allowed the model to calibrate its mathematical weights with surgical precision.
And in a fraction of the time.
Yes. They definitively prove that when training neural networks, the quality of the data has a profoundly higher impact coefficient than the sheer quantity.
Okay, but proving it in a lab is one thing.
Sure.
In the tech world, the ultimate gauntlet is the benchmark testing.
And it is brutal.
AI2 had to throw this lightweight, pruned model into the ring against the multi-billion dollar heavyweights.
And the evidence they produced fundamentally altered the expectations of the open source community.
I mean, the numbers are staggering.
They really are. On the MMLU benchmark, which tests encyclopedic knowledge across 57 different academic disciplines, OMO Hybrid outscored dense models that had double the parameters and double the training budget.
Beating them at general trivia is impressive, but the real paradigm shift here is how it handles pure logic.
Yes, logic is the key.
We really need to zero in on the historical Achilles heel of artificial intelligence, which is hallucination.
It's the biggest problem in the industry.
Specifically, the tendency for AI to just confidently hallucinate when doing complex math or writing code.
Right. To understand the stakes of that hallucination, we look at the human evil test for Python coding and the GSMAK test for complex middle school math.
Okay.
A standard, dense model attempts to solve a differential equation the exact same way it writes a poem.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
By statistically predicting the next most likely word based on its training data. It is literally guessing the shape of the answer rather than computing the logic.
So what does this all mean for the end user trying to get a model to write code without it hallucinating?
Well, OMO Hybrid sidesteps that entirely.
How?
Using the MOE routing we discussed earlier, the moment it identifies a coding or math query, the neural router intercepts it.
Okay.
It routes that query exclusively to parameter blocks trained entirely on symbolic logic.
Wow. So it identifies a math problem and sends it straight to the math department.
Exactly.
Meaning you, the user, don't need your neural network to simultaneously process the complete works of Shakespeare in the background just to figure out a differential equation.
That's it. By isolating the expertise, the AI stops trying to guess numbers and the logical error rate absolutely plummets.
That is incredible.
And because the model is so mathematically lean and logically isolated, the ripple effects aren't just software.
Right.
They are spilling out and fundamentally altering physical hardware design.
The hardware shockwave.
Yes. The massive reduction in VRAM and computational load makes on-device AI a physical reality.
So if you don't need a massive $100 million server farm to run top-tier AI, the intelligence migrates locally.
To the device in your hand.
And the hardware giants are actually waking up to this, right? They are actively redesigning their silicon to accommodate this specific MOE architecture.
We are seeing this shift across the entire mobile frontline.
Give me an example. Well, leaks from Apple's supply chain indicate that the upcoming A19 Pro and M5 chips are fundamentally redesigning their neural processing units.
Their NPUs?
Right. They're optimizing the physical layout of the chip to save memory bandwidth. Specifically to support the rapid switching required by hybrid models.
Wow. And we are seeing the exact same pivot on the Android side, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Qualcomm is natively supporting hybrid models via their Hexagon NPU on the new Snapdragon 8 Gen 5.
Yep.
But I think the most fascinating hardware adaptation is coming from MediaTek with the Dimensity 9500.
Oh, their shared memory APU.
Yes, they're introducing a shared memory APU aiming for a zero latency.
Right, because that solves the primary bottleneck of a mixture of experts model, which is latency.
Right, the delay.
Yeah, if the neural router suddenly needs to wake up the math expert, there's traditionally a tiny delay as those parameters are loaded into active memory.
Okay.
MediaTek's architecture essentially bridges that gap.
So instead of the processor having to walk over to the pantry every time it needs a new ingredient, the shared memory APU is like moving all the ingredients directly onto the chef's cutting board.
Exactly. The different experts can be loaded and swapped with zero latency.
That's wild. You can run server-grade AI directly on your phone, and it won't drain your battery in 10 minutes.
The entire semiconductor industry is pivoting to host these hyper-efficient models locally.
But the most disruptive element of the Olmo hybrid project isn't just the hardware adaptation.
No, not at all.
It is the startup rebellion.
Yes.
It's the fact that this technology is accessible to everyone outside of the massive tech monopolies.
Right, because AI2 didn't just build this hyper-efficient model and hide it behind an expensive black box API paywall.
No, they released everything.
Literally everything.
The model weights, the neural router structures, the debugging logs, and even their surgically pruned 7 trillion token dataset. It is entirely open source.
And the democratization of this architecture dismantles the economic moat that the giants have relied on. By proving that algorithmic efficiency beats brute force spending, they have drastically lowered the barrier to entry.
For you listening to this, this is where the theoretical becomes incredibly practical.
Yeah.
Because if you are an independent developer, a researcher, or a small startup, you used to be locked out of the bleeding edge of AI development.
You couldn't compete.
Right. Now, because of this efficiency, you can run QLORA fine-tuning on a completely standard dual RTX 4090 computer setup.
Or even an M4 Ultra Max Studio.
Exactly.
If we connect this to the bigger picture.
Yeah.
This democratizes budgets, and it significantly slashes the massive carbon footprint and power consumption of data centers.
Right.
QLORA is a vital piece of this democratization.
Right. Let's act as a proxy for the listeners who aren't deep in developer forums.
Okay.
What does QLORA actually mean for them? Essentially, it's a shortcut, right?
Pretty much.
A way to customize a massive AI without needing a supercomputer.
Think of training a massive AI from scratch, like demolishing a house and rebuilding it from the foundation up.
Very expensive.
Right. It takes millions of dollars and massive amounts of heavy machinery.
Right.
But QLORA is a mathematical technique that freezes the original pre-trained model.
Okay.
And it only trains a tiny, highly specialized adapter layer on top of it.
Oh, I see.
It is the equivalent of just putting up a new layer of custom wallpaper.
That makes perfect sense.
It requires a fraction of the memory and compute power, allowing a solo developer to heavily customize an AI model for a specific task using consumer-grade hardware.
Mm. The power to create state-of-the-art, highly customized AI has literally been handed back to the community.
It really represents the death of the trillion parameter bragging rights.
The era of bragging about that is just dead.
Moving forward, the future of large language models is no longer about the blind accumulation of data.
Right. The future is focused entirely on agentic workflows.
Exactly. We are moving past models that simply generate a paragraph of text in response to a prompt.
Right. They do so much more now.
An agentic model uses these hyper-efficient, specialized architectures as a core engine to actively plan.
Plan. Utilize external software tools.
Reflect on its own mistakes and solve complex multi-step problems autonomously.
So let's look at the mechanics of why efficiency is so vital for that.
Okay.
If you ask an AI to write a piece of software, test it, find the bugs, and rewrite it until it works.
That model might need to think in a continuous loop for 10 or 15 minutes.
Right. And if you are paying for cloud compute on a massive, inefficient, dense model, that single task could cost a fortune.
It would bankrupt you.
But because Olmo Hybrid uses vastly lower energy and isolates its compute to specific experts, these complex agentic loops can run continuously.
The era of blind quantity is truly over. The Olmo Hybrid proves that true intelligence isn't about the sheer volume of data you can hoard.
Or the size of the server farm you can rent.
No. It is about the precision of your choices and the elegance of your architecture.
Which brings us back to the skyscraper.
Right.
When Silicon Valley hit the hard data wall, they panicked.
They did.
But the open source community didn't panic. They simply figured out how to build a stronger, more capable structure using half the materials.
By fundamentally rethinking the foundation, they proved that targeted expertise will always outperform unguided brute force.
And it leaves you with something incredibly profound to think over.
Yeah.
If these hyper-efficient agentic AI systems can soon run flawlessly, entirely locally, on the phone in your pocket,
right,
without ever needing to ping a massive cloud server, what happens to the power dynamics of the tech industry?
That's the million-dollar question.
Exactly. When the mega corporations no longer own the infrastructure that our digital intelligence relies on, will the ultimate privacy of offline AI completely rewrite who controls the future of technology?
It changes everything.
Definitely something to mull over the next time you pick up your phone.